Promises, Promises. It's not just the title of a song by the group Naked Eyes back from 1983. It's also what someone says when they pretty much don't believe what's being told to them by someone. With God, that's never the case. What God promises is the most sure thing you will ever find if you know how to look and what to do. The Bible is filled with God's promises. We learn in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Jeremiah writes in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And Jesus teaches in John chapter 14, verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Now, there's a key part of God's promises that many forget about or just flat out ignore. There will be times when audience participation is necessary. Even when what you're asking for is righteous, there may be an action by you that needs to be made. We read in James chapter 4, verse 8, "Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Then there's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." The foundation of many of these promises is through Jesus and the blood of the cross. Jesus declares in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, we're told, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." And also in the very brief book of Titus, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Paul writes, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's written, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Yet so many who say they want to teach the word of God truthfully avoid teaching about the blood of the cross, the blood of Jesus, because, well, they say, it's seen by some as being too violent. Well, that's you. There's a question I have for you. What would the actual absence of that blood result in when it comes to the Word of God and the eternal life, the Spirit? Throughout the early part of the Old Testament, we read about all that Moses dealt with, all that he took on and endured, knowing full well he was told by God Almighty himself that he would not see the promised land. You can see your promised land. How? With faith and obedience to God. And there's a double benefit when you give a full devotion to God. He makes good on all of his promises, and it causes Satan to curl up in a ball in the corner of hell. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and you'll find, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it's explained, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."